Hello, everybody. I'm Lou Dobbs, and this is the Great America Show. Welcome to unbridled, unadorned consideration of any matter or event influencing the strength of our great republic, the lives and prosperity of all Americans. We're committed to truth, justice, and the American way here, and we don't see much need to settle for less, and we won't. And neither did the Supreme Court over the past week. You and I have witnessed history as it should be made in America, as envisioned by our nation's founders, and as practiced by patriots throughout our history. Our Supreme Court defended our Second Amendment rights in striking down New York's restrictive concealed carry law, recognized the private speech and religious rights of a football coach to pray at the 50-yard line after games, and ruled the high school couldn't punish him for doing so. And for a grand finale to this term of the court, overturned Roe v. Wade and Planned Parenthood v. Casey, and returned the issue of abortion to where it belonged all along, to the states. The constitutionalists on the court made history, and did so under threats of all kinds from the Marxist Dems, protesting at homes of the conservative justices, threatening their lives, threatening to destroy the court, to pack the court and keep adding justices to the court until it would be a leftist bastion. Those constitutionalists, Alito, Thomas, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, are courageous, committed to our Constitution, and we're indebted to them as a nation. God bless the Supreme Court and those fearless five justices who've righted wrongs and have begun the hard fight to restore truth and justice to our legal system. And of course, the Marxist Dems are already baying at the moon and maneuvering to nullify the Dobbs case decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, Senator Elizabeth Warren, and AOC calling for so-called emergency abortion clinics to be set up on all federal lands, including national parks. President Biden attacked the conservative majority on the court as extremists, and the Marxist Dems have already filed lawsuits seeking to block those trigger laws that, in the absence of Roe v. Wade, would automatically ban or restrict abortion in a number of states. This fight for life is far from over. One of those who fights every day for truth, justice, and the rule of law is the Attorney General of the great state of Texas. He's Ken Paxton. He's our guest today on the Great America Show. And Ken, welcome. First of all, thanks for all that you've done and are doing in the fight for life and our right to bear arms. You're a tremendous leader in the pro-life movement, and congratulations to you, Mr. Attorney General.
Well, I appreciate that, Lou. It was a huge team effort. We played our part in it with the amicus brief with 24 states, and really, when you count Mississippi, 25, arguing for the first time that Roe v. Wade should be overturned. And, you know, it's been a long fight with literally thousands and thousands of people involved across the nation. And I'm just grateful that I get to play a small role in it.
Well, I also appreciate the fact that you closed your office Friday, created an annual holiday to celebrate overturning Roe v. Wade. I'm just delighted that we're seeing you celebrate and commemorate this historical occasion.
Well, we're talking about, you know, literally thousands and thousands of lives every year just in Texas. And so it's worthy of celebration. We'll never know the lives that were saved, who they were. Just like we don't know who the lives that have been lost. We just know the numbers are around 70 million in America since Roe v. Wade was instituted by the Supreme Court, not by Constitution, not by statute, not by any normal means. They just implemented it on us, and we've been fighting them ever since. And so, you know, every day that went by, we were losing more and more babies. So for me, it was worth celebrating, and it's worth celebrating and remembering this the at least as long as I'm Attorney General.
Yeah, and I think it's important in connection with what you're saying. We have a brighter light falling on America today as a result of a courageous Supreme Court decision. And I would be remiss if I did not comment on the courage of those five justices who stood up for everything that's right, for the Constitution, for those lives yet to be born that they have saved. It's just a remarkable moment. And they were intimidated by the left. The president of the United States, every dark force in this country was going after them, trying to intimidate them. In the case of Justice Kavanaugh, as you know, a young man is now charged with attempted murder with every apparent attempt to intent to kill him. This is what they faced. They knew what the consequences would be, and yet they stood up for the rule of law in this country and for this country itself.
Yep, I agree with that. You couldn't have said it any better. The intimidation was tremendous from the President of the United States trying to bully them into ignoring the Constitution. And honestly, this is such an important decision because it actually is the Constitution working out. You know, since 1973, we had a decision just like, you know, our some of our decisions back in the 1800s related to slavery, where they ruled that, you know, if your skin color was a certain color, you weren't a person under the Constitution. Well, that had to be fixed because that's not what the Constitution says. And here we had that same type of discrimination against the unborn. The Constitution doesn't provide any type of right in the words of the Constitution to end those lives. And yet we had seven Supreme Court justices in the 70s decide to end those lives. And I love the fact that these justices had the courage in the face of, you know, just tremendous criticism threatening their lives, and they preserved life, and they preserved life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness really for everyone now.
Yeah, truth, justice, and the American way have been supported and assured, at least for some time, as a result of their courage. I think that it's just remarkable that we, I consider those three justices, Gorsuch and Kavanaugh and Barrett, to have just been heaven sent. And we owe President Trump a great thank you for his part in this decision as well, because without their participation, this does not happen. I guess inversely, we could say that if the election of 2020 were not rigged, stolen, however you want to construct it, we might have a fourth conservative justice on that Supreme Court. In particular, I want to single out Justice Thomas and Justice Alito, who led the way on this. It's a truly remarkable moment in legal history, in the history of this Constitution, and those who would support it against whatever fad or fashion has gripped the legal profession at any one moment in our history. It's good to see it prevail.
Well, they certainly did two really great things. One is they recognized the rights of the unborn, which I think is tremendous and certainly valid under the Constitution. But they also validated our Constitution that this poor decision, even though it had been used as precedent for other cases since 1973, they acknowledged that this should not have been done, that it was a bad decision, and they went and undid, you know, decade-long bad decisions that cost American lives, millions of American lives, probably, I think, more than all the wars that we've been in combined.
Oh, yes.
We lost more Americans from abortion. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't really have the right words to say how grateful I am to them, because you can't describe how important it is preserving our Constitution and preserving literally life for these babies.
For these babies. And so many want to quibble with the word baby, as you know, Mr. Attorney General. But let's call them babies and let's follow the science. And science says that from the moment of conception, a life has been formed. I don't see how anyone can get around that. I know that it may be unpleasant. I know that right now the debates are underway whether will abortion be permitted, banned after 15 weeks, whatever the definition is. I truly believe the sanctity of life, the sanctity of the unborn, is a matter of religion, a matter of theology, a matter of faith, or as a matter of science and fact. We have to understand what we're doing. And what is so, to me, unsettling is that over that half century that you're talking about, Ken Paxton, we didn't have a debate about any of this. We didn't have a national debate. We didn't even have debate in our universities and our colleges. We didn't have a debate about with facts. Like, when is the science of life? What does it say? What is the consensus view of our best scientific minds? And further, how many abortions were in this country in 1972 versus 1973? Because that seems to be the breaking off point. How many abortions were in Texas in 1965 versus 1995 as a result of this this court decision and other legislation? We didn't have a discussion about what it was doing to our country. What does it say to a country that you would end the lives of 60 to 70 million Americans at a time, and at the same time be inviting illegal immigrants into your country a half century later because we don't have enough people to work, we don't have enough people to support the economy, as is the argument of the Business Roundtable, the Chamber of Commerce, and the list goes on. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, it's amazing that seven justices took the debate away from every state in the country, which is where our Constitution puts these type of questions. Elected representatives from 50 states, we're talking about thousands of representatives and senators who never had that debate, and they stuck a dagger into our Constitution and literally stuck a dagger into the lives of literally millions of unborn children. And so I can't think of, we've had some pretty bad decisions from the Supreme Court over its 240 or 50 year history, one about slavery, and certainly this is right up there as one of the absolute most horrid decisions that seven justices could ever make. And it had a long-lasting, tremendous impact on our republic and how people viewed that republic. But you know what I would say? I give a lot of credit to people like my pastor when I went to the University of Virginia School of Law. When he started talking then, this is 1988, 89, 90, talking about how this is a winnable war because science was on our side. As science would show over time, viability and life are scientific facts. And so what I love about the pro-life movement, about people that cared about life, is that they didn't resort to violence for the most part. They just stuck in the fight. They continued to lobby their legislators. They continued to fight in every way they could without violence. And I think it's paid off, just like it did for Wilberforce and just like it did for some of our great American leaders that ended slavery.
And violence is what we had over the weekend in major Democrat-run cities. Here's the mayor of Chicago.
Now we know what happened with the Supreme Court yesterday. And if you read Clarence Thomas' concurrence, he said, "Thank you, Clarence Thomas."
I don't know what to say other than she's an embarrassment to her job, to her city, to her state, to her country, to use that kind of language. And she's just wrong. And she's exaggerating about what this decision does. This decision was related to a very specific issue that was decided by seven men in 1973. And it has a right to go back. Her state can make its decision based on its elected representatives. And apparently she's not a big fan of representative government. She wants a ruling oligarchy to dictate to us what we should do and think. And the reality is that's not the country that the founders set up. And if she doesn't like that country, there's plenty of other countries where they get dictated to what the law is going to be. That's just not the way America was set up. And that's not the country that I love. And that's not the country that most Americans love, which is a country where we get to decide, the people to make the decisions. We are the rulers, not the people who are elected.
Why is there a sense right now in this country that it's certainly among the left, that unelected, for the most part, unelected officials in the bureaucracy, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, the elites in business or whatever, know better than the rest of us, all of us mere citizens. Why has that idea taken hold, and what will it take to break it? And is this perhaps the breaking point for that that seeming acceptance of authoritarianism on the part of the Marxist left and the Democrat Party?
Well, they're elitists. They think they know better than us. They think that we're not as smart as they are, that they have the intellect, and that they should make decisions for us because we are clinging to our God and to our guns. You remember President Obama saying that?
Oh, yeah.
That is the mentality of the left. They think they know better than us. They don't have the votes. If they tell the truth about what they're doing, they want to control the country with a few people telling us what we can and who, and they were the ones that get to decide who gets what. It's no different than most countries where you have a ruling elite, a ruling oligarchy that tells everybody what they can and can't do. And, you know, the people in power love that. And the liberal elites want that same type of power in the United States. And they don't want people making their own decisions. They want to make the decisions for us because they're smarter than we are.
And one of those people who's definitely smarter than all the rest of us is Senator Elizabeth Warren. And no one is more agitated or angry than she about this decision. If you would, let's listen to her go on about the very idea that this country would honor our Constitution and put the issue of abortion back with state legislatures insisting on consent of the governed and representation. Here she is.
They went to the polls just like your constituents in Massachusetts, where abortion is legal. So why not leave it to the states?
Look, we have never left individual rights to the states. The whole idea is that women are not second-class citizens, and the government is not the one that will decide about the continuation of a pregnancy. You know, there's no equivalent there for men. So what we believe is that access to abortion, like other medical procedures, should be available across the board to all people in this country.
Ken, your reaction?
She's very dishonest. She knows that there was no constitutional right to privacy or an abortion. She can't point to any word in the text of our Constitution. And yet, because the Supreme Court told us it was there, she now can claim that it's there, even though it's just a vapor. And so she's very dishonest, and then she ignores the rights of the unborn, the fact that they're gonna lose their life, and the fact that they have a constitutional right to the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And so she's ignoring the Constitution and making up words and relying on words that were never there. And I guess it serves her purposes, her power purposes, but she's very dishonest about what the Constitution says. And she ignores the real Constitution, which should allow every human being to have dignity and the opportunity to live.
You're talking about the decision in Roe v. Wade was just a fabrication. It was nothing more than a contrivance by the Berger Court, which was supposed to be a conservative court, but in fact endorsed nearly everything that the Earl Warren Court had done in preceding, which was the liberal court. This is just a moment of madness in legal history, isn't it? That they constructed this out of a right to privacy, a right to an abortion. And everyone with any sense at all, you don't have to be an attorney or a constitutional scholar. Any one of us who can read the English language knows that it was just complete nonsense. It persisted for 50 years.
Yeah, I went to the University of Virginia Law School, which was founded by Thomas Jefferson, a very liberal constitutional law professor, who admitted that there was no basis for Roe v. Wade, that they made it up. Now, he argued that we needed courts to fix things that the legislature wouldn't. Now, that's not our constitutional form of government. But that's what he was arguing. But at least he was honest about the fact that there is no word in the Constitution. There's no conglomeration of words that give this right to an abortion. and the ending of a life. And so what I find incredibly dishonest is that somebody like Elizabeth Warren tries to act like those words exist and that there is no constitutional protection for these unborn children. And she has no basis in the Constitution. So it's just her personal opinion that this part of the Constitution should be made up and the other part should be ignored. It's her personal opinion. And if that's true, then we don't have a Constitution. We don't have individual rights. It's just all made up by the government. And honestly, that's not the position of the founders. The founders believe that those rights were God-given and not granted by the government. And she's arguing just the opposite.
And she says we have never left individual rights to the states. She apparently has never heard of federalism or the constitutional guarantees to the states.
Yeah, and she ignores the actual words of the Constitution to make up her own contrived version of these individual rights. And you're right, she ignores the delegation. If it wasn't specifically granted to the federal government in the Constitution, then the rest, everything else is delegated to the state. She ignores that constitutional provision as well. So there's nothing about what she says that's honest, and she knows it. She's very dishonest about what the Constitution says, and she ignores the reality of the rights that it does give.
And the reaction of the left has been so different. I'm thinking, what would have been the reaction? What would have been the circumstance that would have incited the conservatives, the Republican Party, independents, to the same language and the same anger in the streets of America back in 1973. Listen to one other Democrat, and then I will have had enough, and I'm sure you will in the audience as well, to the leftist reaction. Here's Democratic Representative Maxine Waters calling for, pro-abortion extremists to react. Here she is.
You see this turnout here? You ain't seen nothing yet. Women are going to control their bodies no matter how they try and stop us. The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them. Women will be in control of their bodies. And if they think black women are intimidated or afraid, they got another thought coming. Black women will be out in droves. We will be out by the thousands. We will be out by the millions. We're going to make sure we fight for the right to control our own bodies. Thank you. Hello, everybody.
Maxine Waters, with her usual eloquent response to issues in which she finds herself in disagreement. Your thoughts?
Look, it's obviously what she said is completely wrong. We have elections. Elections have consequences. The people are the ones that are supposed to make decisions about issues like this. And basically what she is saying is, if the Supreme Court isn't going to make this rule our way, then we're gonna go crazy, and we're gonna cause a lot of problems. But the reality is, every one of those people she's talking about that she says are gonna go out in the streets, they can go vote. That's what this country is all about, and they can vote with their feet. If they don't like the state they're in because they don't like the abortion laws, guess what? There's choices now, and I know they like choices. They've been talking about choices since 1973. There are choices now. If they want to move to a state where abortion is legal, there are going to be states where abortion is legal. If people want to move to a state where life is protected, then they're going to have those choices as well. So this is the left. They don't like real choices. They want to dictate to us outside of the Constitution, outside of our elected representatives, outside of our own vote. They want to dictate to us how we're going to act and what our rules are going to be. And that's just not the way our Constitution was set up. I'm sorry, there are other countries that are set up that way. And if you like that, you can choose that as well.
Well said. I want to turn again to the Supreme Court's victories for truth, justice, and the American way over the past week. Huge victories for the rule of law, including, of course, overturning Roe v. Wade, sending the issue of abortion back to the states, gun rights, knocking down the New York State restrictions against concealed carry of a firearm. And just today, Coach Kennedy winning support for praying at the 50-yard line whenever he wants to, reinforcing the right of religious expression in this country. And by the way, his punishment, they also ruled, was illegal as well as unfair. Your reaction to those three victories, which have me walking around just singing hallelujah.
No, I agree with you. You know, this is, it's amazing that we even have to have these decisions, but the left is so focused on the Constitution and eliminating the rights that we were given by God, not by the government, whether it's the Second Amendment, which they despise. And you can see that President Biden despises the Second Amendment. And you can see that even some of our Republican congressmen are not necessarily totally favorable to the Second Amendment. The First Amendment with this Coach Kennedy, clearly another thing that they've assaulted. You shouldn't be able to speak about the things that we don't want you to speak about, which is your faith. Well, that was kind of fundamental. It was the very First Amendment they put in place. And you'll notice both one and two, both First Amendment one and First and Second Amendment two are much hated by the left. And they're under assault every single day. So God bless the Supreme Court for recognizing that, again, these are not rights that are granted by, you know, whatever state or whatever federal government dictates. These are rights that were given to us by God. They're inalienable. And those rights are ours, whether they say they are our rights or not.
And they are fundamental to this, to the survival of the Republic as well. It's no accident, as you say, that the First Amendment is first in the Bill of Rights, the Second Amendment in its high place in the Bill of Rights. By the way, the Fourth Amendment is taking on a lot of hardship as well, requiring due process of law. The last thing the January 6th committee would want to see is that. The last thing the Democrat Party wants to consider is that amendment, it seems, when it comes to Donald Trump and what has been a 6-year persecution, political persecution of a president. It's breathtaking to see what has been rolled back here rather quickly by this brave court.
No, it is amazing. I agree with you on the Fourth Amendment. I've seen law enforcement, especially federal law enforcement. They don't think they're held accountable for the Fourth Amendment, and maybe they're not. Who's going to hold them accountable? I know I've been in situations where I've tried and it's gotten me into all kinds of hot water, because who can really challenge federal law enforcement when they ignore Fourth Amendment rights? But it is obviously one of those Bill of Rights, and it was listed. It's number 4. It's pretty high up there. And if our federal government can just run roughshod over our individual rights, then we're going to get what we get, which is a few people dictating to us what we can say, what we can do, and how we can protect ourselves. And that is not the country that we were founded under.
As we're wrapping up here, I would just like to ask you the effect this will have, the Dobbs ruling, as we call it here on the Great America Show. It is, not related to Dr. Dobbs of Mississippi, and I'm sure proud to have that name on the case. What is the impact on the state of Texas specifically? Give us a sense of that.
So it's pretty significant. You know, my wife's a state senator. She'd actually passed the heartbeat bill, and then also the trigger law. So we already had taken the heartbeat bill all the way to the Supreme Court November 1st. And we got a favorable ruling. So after 6 weeks, you couldn't do an abortion in Texas, which had a significant impact on the number of babies that were being killed. With this, the numbers should get even better. And so I'm truly grateful for my wife for getting both of these passed through the Senate. Obviously, the House had to pass them as well. But, you know, we've got a problem in Texas. The district attorneys, some of them are Soros funded from some of the big counties like Dallas, right, and Houston. They're not going to criminally prosecute anybody. They've already said, many of them already said, we're not doing this. The legislature can come back and fix that or not fix that. That right now, it's in many places, we won't be able to criminally prosecute. However, I do have the ability to civilly prosecute, and the minimum fine for this is $100,000. So I can tell you, we're going to use the full force of that law to make people pay if they're going to do abortions, and hope that most DAs will prosecute, and if not, that the legislature will give the somebody else, maybe the Attorney General's office, like many other states have, concurrent jurisdiction, so that if DAs are out there making their own laws, which many of them are, they're just ignoring other laws, right, as well as abortion laws, we can go back and have some type of accountability for them, so they're not a rule and they're not the law unto themselves, which is what some of them think they are.
And the Austin City Council, I understand some of their members, if not most, want to decriminalize abortion in their city in response to the Texas trigger law. Is that legal?
No, it's not legal. But, you know, we've had DAs already say they're not going to prosecute it in some of the big counties. I think like the Dallas County DA said it. There have been other DAs, probably Travis County, which is where Austin is. So the way Texas works is the DAs are the only one that can prosecute crimes other than election fraud. And so in many states, there's concurrent jurisdictions so that the attorney general, if a DA isn't doing their job, there's some accountability. We don't have that in Texas. So the Austin City Council is more of a show than a reality, because it's the DA that makes that decision, not the Austin City Council. That's all about show, not about anything that matters that I can tell. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. But I think that's more just a liberal, you know, showpiece, not a real thing that we're going to have to deal with.
Well, we always give our guests here the last word, Mr. Attorney General. And if you will, your concluding thoughts here on the Great America Show.
Well, as you mentioned, the Supreme Court has come down with some pretty remarkable decisions in the last week or two. And I'm just so grateful. I mean, I didn't know how it was all going to work out. I didn't know if these justices would be able to stand in that sort of the crucible that they're in, which is to deal with all the criticism and the threats. And so I'm really grateful, especially being a part of this Dobbs case and the heartbeat bill, and something that my wife and I care about significantly and have cared about for decades and decades. And there have been thousands of people who have given their lives to this cause. And so really, it's probably the most significant victory in my career, and certainly grateful that we played a small role in asking the Supreme Court to overrule a decision that I consider to be an absolute travesty. And you know what? America's a better place because of what has happened in the last week.
Amen. Absolutely agree with you 100%, and I think our audience does to a person. We talk about the Great America Show, and we talk about our commitment to truth, justice, and the American way. It is so, I don't know, the air is somehow richer and cleaner and fresher with what the Supreme Court has had the courage to stand up and to do for this country, for truth, for justice, and America. And Ken Paxton, we thank you for all that you have done and for making, contributing to the making of a better America. God bless you. And thanks so much for being with us here today.
Hey, well, thanks for having me on, especially given the importance of this issue to our country and to life.
Thank you. Ken Paxton, Attorney General, the great state of Texas. Thanks everybody for being with us today. Joining us tomorrow on the Great America Show will be the great American, Carrie Campbell Severino. She's president of the Judicial Crisis Network, as we take up the extraordinary and momentous Supreme Court decisions of this past week on gun control, religious freedom, right of private speech, and of course, the overturning of Roe v. Wade and the issue of abortion returned to the states. Please be with us for all that and more here tomorrow. Till then, God bless you, and God bless America.